The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back. Boy, time flies, doesn't it? Got a few more minutes to hang out together. If you want to join me, feel free to. The number's 888-914-9149. Peter Grandage is going to be stopping by. Just a quick heads up. My colleague here at Relevant, Garen, gave me the notice that that pilgrimage to Italy, the Relevant Radio Eucharistic Revival pilgrimage, it's heading out in September, has closed out. I think there are two seats still available, but I think there are probably people right now who've said, hey, I want to go. But you can get on the waiting list if you want. Just want to let you know, I probably won't be mentioning it again until maybe the month before I go to Italy, and I'll invite you to send me your prayer intentions, because I will pray for you at some very holy places, sites where, you know, priests like Padre Pio and St. Francis of Assisi receive their stigmatas, you know, where Eucharist has turned to human flesh, you know, to pray for you at the tombs of the great saints, the great popes like St. John Paul II, and so many other wonderful places. So I'll bring up the speed on that when we get closer to it, but I just want to put that on your radar. If you've been putting it off, I think you probably missed the window right now. I'm sorry about that, but you can always put your name on the waiting list. Hey, I want to change gears a little bit if we can. I want to talk about what we are seeing right now with the economy and the market. I mean, how are you doing? I saw a stunning stat this morning about credit card debt. It is ridiculous how much credit card debt Americans have. I don't have the number in front of me. I want to say it was like $986 billion. I mean, that's an insane amount of zeros. But, you know, costs have gone up. It's difficult to get by, right? You put gas in your car, you really don't have the money in your bank account because things got expensive, so you put it on your credit card. You got to buy those eggs that are up 70%, or your heating bill's a little bit higher, or things just cost a little bit more. The interest rate's going up, so you're putting more money out. It's hard. You know, President Biden touted today, or he touted in the past, I shouldn't say today, but he touted the State of the Union when he gave that address, that America's experiencing decreasing inflation. And to me, it's one of these lies. It's all about, you know, wordsmithing. It's about spinning. What was inflation when you took office, and where is it now? I don't care if it's come down a couple, you know, points, a couple of percents, perhaps. If even that, we're far worse right now than we were 2 years ago when it comes to inflation. I think he crowed a little early. He thought maybe they turned a corner. It was coming down. And look, I'm rooting for the president. I want you to know, I am rooting for America. I am rooting for this administration. I'm hoping, man, I hope they see something I don't see. I hope they get it right. I really do. I'm sure you are, too. The Labor Department reported that inflation rose 6.4% over last January, and they also revised the previous 3 months' record upward as well. So I saw a report in the Heritage Foundation. They said butter. Now, when was the last time you picked up your butter? They said it increased 31%. I just filled up my car. Gasoline has increased nearly 50%. Natural gas has increased nearly 60%. Eggs have gone up, not just 70% recently, but the overall arc of these eggs from just a couple years ago. This number I found mind-boggling. They said eggs, if you go back a couple years to where you were buying them, and you probably remember this better than me, they've gone up 229%. 229% just in the last year. That to me is wild. I had thought they'd gone up 70%, but somebody told me, no, it's 229%. So that kind of inflation is really biting, I think, into your paycheck. And people are now living paycheck to paycheck. It also is taking chunks out of people's retirement accounts. People are tapping into retirement or using their credit card. A lot of people are scared. They're not going to have enough money to live after they retire. And maybe you're in that situation right now. And then one final thing on top of that, the federal government reported that Social Security is going to run into problems in 10 years. Now, we've heard about this a lot. I think the government will certainly fix Social Security, but, you know, I've been wrong on other things. You heard earlier from Dr. Nicholas Eberstadt, who was in the first hour of my broadcast, We talked about the lack of people who want to work in this country, right? We got a worker deficit. We got unemployment up, and we got a lot of people who don't want to work. You know, we got job availability, but people don't want to work. But one of the problems with that is you need workers to keep Social Security funded. And we're almost like a pyramid. The bottom should be a big working base. At the top should be, you know, the individual that needs the support during the retirement. We've got an inverted pyramid now. We've got all these boomers retiring. At the very bottom, you've got the tip, right? It's an inverted pyramid where you got fewer people supporting the retirement crowd. And more people are going to be retiring. So if things don't change soon, they're going to have to make a 23% cut in payouts, they say, if things don't get fixed. You know, if they want to keep it funded, you know, for 10 years. That's going to cause problems for a lot of people. And I know Social Security just got raised. But on top of that, the Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen warned Congress that we are hitting the debt ceiling. And if they don't do anything to either cut spending or raise the ceiling, we're going to default on our loans. Now, we've never done that. President Biden says we'll never do that. So what does that mean? We raise the debt ceiling again? The interest on that debt is going into the hundreds of billions of dollars, and we have to maintain a deficit just to pay the interest, never mind the principal. Somebody's been warning us about this for a long time. His name's Peter Grandage. He's been a regular on this program, and I invite him on because I really want an honest look at where we are. And a couple of years ago, people thought this man was crazy, right? They thought he was crazy with his prediction regarding gold, regarding the economy, and a lot of other things. But I got to say, Peter's been hitting the ball pretty squarely. He's been saying forever, you can only rob Peter to pay Paul for so long, then something's going to break down. And you know that in your own life. Maybe you're experiencing it now. Same thing goes for our national government. It's a delight to have with me the former Wall Street whiz kid. If you want to read a story, check out Confessions of a Former Wall Street Whiz Kid. I actually endorsed the book. I've read it. I think you'll enjoy it. But you can also check him out at petergrandage.com, where he provides guidance on matters of finance. And Peter, it's good to have you back. How are you feeling today? How are you holding up?
Well, after your last interview 2 weeks ago, I think I heard from over 100 relevant radio listeners, mostly by email. And almost all of them were not former clients, just offering out prayers, offering out thanks for following what I've said these last couple of years. It was just an overwhelming amount of good wishes and prayers and a lot of advice on how to handle, you know, what we're going through and all. But I also got to say something else. You've come a long way from the first days that I spoke to you about. You have come to understand economics and things, maybe not in the best way, because you got to go home and drink some hemlock when we're done. But the bottom line is what you pointed out. First of all, cutting spending, that's never going to happen by this government.
Yeah,
the politicians don't know how to cut spending. That's why inevitably these costs are all going to be incurred by future workers and future earners with much higher taxes. So it's a picture that people don't want to hear. It doesn't help the business that I'm in. It hinders it. But we have a whole host of issues that are coming. You talked about them. The retirement one is just coming on people's minds. But understand this about your leadoff too. I should point out. You pointed out it's good. Inflation's been up the last 2 years. And some say it was up at least 10% each year. Well, so things are on average, say, 20%, even though there's some more. People have not gotten 20% in raises who are working.
No.
So with 75% of the working public basically working paycheck to paycheck, that's why they had to go to their credit cards, because how else do they pay for gas or food or whatever? They got to worry about paying the minimum and worry about how high it goes later. And so, like you said, when Biden said that, you know, and made it sound like, you know, we're back to happy times again, he was just really wrong to do that. And again, it's still not expected. That was why the market had some trouble this week, because the inflation numbers came in higher and everybody was thinking the Fed was going to stop raising rates and suddenly lower rates. And now the Fed the past week has talked about continually raising interest rates. So we can go on and on. And, I hate to be the person that always sounds down, but it's the reality of the situation. And I think if you don't speak about it, which most financial advisors won't, because this, like I said, it doesn't help the business. But there's a whole host of things to be concerned. And you hit on one that I've heard more, especially from relevant radio listeners, seniors. They fear more out of running money out of money than dying. Imagine that.
Really?
There's actually polls out that show that seniors fear more of being without money than passing away, especially if you have faith, because in a sense, when you pass away, it's actually going to be a good thing where we're going to end up hopefully going. But to live in this world and be worried about that, that is a bigger concern. And it's just really... It's been a problem going on for decades. They've kicked the can, and eventually the can can't get kicked. You're right. They'll raise the debt ceiling one more time. Why they keep calling it a debt ceiling? I think it's been raised 70 times. But eventually, and it's going to be a crisis that most people are going to be impacted by.
So I want to take a few calls. People are already lining up for it. But before I do, I mean, explain that to me. Educate me. You're right. Again, we go back to the fact that the debt ceiling has been raised 70 times. The president has come out and he said, look, we're not going to default. America has never defaulted on its loans, and we're not going to do so now. With Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, she's warning Congress that we're going to hit it and saying, hey, you got to cut spending. We're not going to cut spending either. So what happens? Do we keep raising the ceiling? How high can this go? And how much debt can this country tolerate before we reach a tipping point?
The CBO, which is supposed to be independent, came out with a study this week and said in less than 10 years, they see another $19 trillion being added onto the deficit. So we'd be at $50 trillion. And remember, that doesn't take into account what's expected from people that be paid in Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. People estimate that as at least another $70 trillion. It can't keep going like this. Listen, let's just say we were at the $35 trillion and interest rates are 5%. Well, that's going to be $1.7 trillion in interest expense. We take in less than $4 trillion in our best years. So we're going to see interest, just the interest to the debt, surpass all other defense and things of that nature. And, you know, what's really terrible is the younger you are, the longer you're going to work, the more tax you're going to be. For instance, Cory Booker came out today and is pushing a law to give anybody who was born from 2005 on a couple $1,000s. And how they're going to pay for it? They're going to tax estate and inheritance. Well, think about it. The money you hope to leave for your family, how many times has that been taxed? It's been taxed twice. They want to tax it again. So taxes is always what they resort to, and it's going to get to a point where people are going to be taxed out. And you're going to say, I want to be in the wagon too. And, Drew, we have millions and millions of people coming into the country that are going to be on the lowest scale. They're not going to go right up the food chain. They, too, are going to seek government assistance and help and all, and it's going to be overwhelming. And there's nothing good about saying this if you're into financial planning like I am. People don't run up and go, man, I want to go talk to this guy Grandage. In fact, this is what they say. I heard this from several relevant radio. This is what they say. Peter, I know you're right, but I'm praying you're wrong.
Peter, I am too. I am hoping you are so wrong in this. You've got a great track record. I think when you lay it out the way you do, it only makes sense. You know, there's only so much of this we can tolerate. We have so many issues. You know, people aren't working anymore. You take a look at our energy policies. You take a look at how much spending is being done. We've got to pump the brakes. It's not that complex, is it? I mean, you should look at the national government like you do your own finances in some respects. You shouldn't overspend, right? You should live within a particular set of means. It's kind of crazy. Let me go to Phil in Madison, Wisconsin. He's got a question, I think, for you. Phil, good afternoon. Thanks for waiting.
Yes. See, being that Social Security is in jeopardy because doesn't that translate to exactly the same thing with fewer people paying into the 401k system, and you have the baby boomers now taking their retirement funds out of the 401k system, which would then decrease the amount of money going into the market.
Okay, Phil, we missed, I think, the beginning of it. Peter, did you hear it all? I missed a little bit of what Phil was saying.
I missed a little, but I guess what he's saying at the tail end, and then if I missed the first part, he can say it again. He puts out a good point. Boomers are going to need to take out of their 401ks to live and survive, and they're not going to stay in the risk-oriented investments that they might have stayed in 10 or 15 years ago. So that could put pressure on the stock market. I didn't quite catch what he asked about Social Security.
So the first part is that Social Security is stated to be in jeopardy because there's fewer people paying. The same reflects to the number of people who are paying into the 401k system. You have fewer people paying into the Social Security system. That is exactly the same as you have fewer people paying into the 401k system. You know, the Social Security system and the 401k system. The 401k system is being placed into the market. You have in 2033, you have the last baby boomer hit 70. Yeah. You'll have the largest draw on the market that it's ever seen.
Wow.
Very good point. And
Great point, Phil. Thanks.
This is another thing. Japan is even worse. And within 20 years, it's expected to be only one person working for every person retired. We had an interesting talk. I was talking with Ed Morrissey, you know, who fills in for you at times, Drew.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And we had a talk the other day, and he brought out the fact that already in Canada, it's operational to offer people that are older an end-of-life scenario versus facing the inability to get medical coverage and all this other stuff through social medicine. And that is part of the argument that I've made, and we've talked about this in the past, that what's going to happen when a younger person who's getting taxed more in tax is going to say, hey, wait a minute, there's an 80-something-year-old person that's going to spend hundreds of thousands on this medicine and blah, and you're going to tax me? Listen, he's lived his life. And then the person who is 80-something is going to say, wait a minute, you took out of my money for years so I could have this ability. So there'll be a I don't want to say a war, but there'll be a battle between the ages, not only just working class versus wealthy, but also just age. And these are all things that have been happening for years, been brought up at times by certain people in Congress and all, and then just forgotten about. And unfortunately, the time to pay the piper is getting closer and closer.
Yeah, I spoke a little bit about euthanasia. I guess it was Wednesday, I think. It was a good conversation. Everybody wants to go back and listen to it. And there was a Yale professor, and maybe this is what Ed was talking about as well. I think Ed actually wrote about it, or Jazz Shaw wrote about it at Hot Air, where this professor, this guy Yusiki Narito, a professor of economics, is proposing mass suicide, basically, in euthanasia for anyone who reaches a certain age. It's crazy. It is absolutely wild. But that's what happens, Peter. You know, people try to find ways to deal with these economic problems, and with no God, this is what you have. We have seven states that are debating youth-assisted suicide. We've got Vermont and a whole lot of other things that are now taking place. Things may get tough, right? But I know you're also a man of great hope and great faith as well. How do you shine the light of Christ on what looks like turbulent waters in the days ahead for the boomers who are retiring, for the future of the economy and for the market? You know, how do you see it? How do you navigate it?
Well, one of the things that I think that will happen is, and it's loss, we probably see it from our parents and our grandparents. There was a period of time when three generations lived together, where, uncle or great uncle or grandpa or grandpa. There was an assisted living. Now, granted, not everybody then was living to 90 or 100 or suffering some of the great illnesses now that seniors are getting. But part of that will be the answer. That'll be people have to kind of commune together and somewhat live together. That's why there's so much of the younger people coming back home, because it's impossible for them to stay out. I mean, you want to work in New York City or live in New York City and have a job in New York City or any major metropolitan, the amount that you have to earn just to survive has become impossible. And so that's the first thing. The second thing that I always talked about since I've been on here, And that's what God had talked about. And it's my biggest hype about the Bible. There's not one verse in the Bible that's positive about debt. In fact, it's mostly all warnings about debt. And that's why I always said to you, even though people don't like to hear it, take a less is more attitude. We have commercials now where the famous comedian runs around. You can save, make 5% using this credit card. Well, probably buying things that you don't need, okay? And so we have to get this mentality and kind of strip back down to necessities versus luxuries. And then we'll have to also, you know, remember that we have faith in God. God knows this is all happening. He's allowed it to happen. Yeah. And for all I know, it's, you know, people talk about chastisement or whatever, but realistically, we've gone against his financial teachings in Scripture, and not only here, but around the world.
You know, the other thing that perplexes me a little bit, and Peter, I'm so glad. I think you're so right about that. I think we also need to exercise personal responsibility with our finances. And I'm confused on two things. One, I saw that over Valentine's Day, we had like record spending, right? So you'd think Americans aren't concerned about their finances. But then on the other side of that table, as I shared when I began, I saw a stat this morning. I think it was $980-some billion worth of credit card debt. More Americans are living off their credit cards. Is it a lack of financial awareness? Is it a fact that people think things are going to get better? You know, why are we spending and using credit cards if, you know, interest rates continue to rise, debt continues to mount, and it seems like things are going to be difficult in the coming year or possibly coming years? How do you read that, and what's with this credit card debt mentality?
Well, it's lifestyle. If you think about at least your grandparents, my parents, or at least maybe even your parents, they didn't even have credit cards. My father's argument was if he didn't have the money to pay for it, he wasn't buying it. Okay?
Right.
So we didn't have all the luxuries. We had one car. We had one TV. We didn't go out all the time and spend, you know, $400 sneakers. He got me Skips, you know, what we used to call Skips, and got it in John's Bargain Store. No, seriously. My parents barely, you know, got through and all. But every psychology study shows that we're more messed up now than we did back then because it's the too much stuff. You know, George Carlin had a great routine about too much stuff, and it was really hit home when people watch it. We've got used to, listen, we didn't have, our parents didn't have public storage. There wasn't a warehouse every 2 miles on a main road where people are keeping stuff. And that's what it's come to. And we live in a society, and people watch and see these programs where everybody's paying today and not worrying about tomorrow. And then, unfortunately, tomorrow comes.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's just, I only have a few minutes left. I got Monsignor Rossetti who's going to be stopping by here. We'll get him on the air. But I want to go to John in Montana. John, thanks for calling in. You're on the air with Peter Grandage.
Drew, my comment is simply about the tremendous unmitigated waste in the federal government. I don't think there's any problem paying off this debt in rather short order, too, simply by eliminating the unnecessary bureaucracy.
Waste.
And there's so much grifting, so much malfeasance in our political system. If that could just be trimmed, I think we could pay this debt off in short order.
Yeah. Well, John, it's a good point. I wouldn't disagree with you. I heard somebody today or yesterday make the comment that, you know, we had federal workers, especially down in Washington, D.C., who, due to COVID, were working maybe 4 to 5 hours a week and yet collecting an 8-hour-a-day paycheck. That there was no productivity. And now there's this mindset in Congress. They want everybody back in. We want 8-hour days out of you. And I know a lot of businesses are doing the same thing. Peter, to John's point, the grift, the waste that we are seeing in government, how do you read it? Maybe some final thoughts on where we are.
I can just tell you there's waste, but there isn't $33 trillion of waste. This is a big bill to pay. And again, remember, Social Security and Medicare, Medicaid expectations, especially now as the boom is, you know, as the gentleman pointed out, you know, we're all going to be coming for looking for the collection. That has been spent already, sometimes over. So you can come more efficient. Certainly, it's hard for government because politicians don't know how to do that. Another thing that we're seeing here, which is, and again, is the infrastructure. That's going to be the next challenge for people. So many things are messed up, buildings, roads, bridges, things of that nature. Remember, the original QE, when Bernanke came out with it at the last previous financial crisis with Obama, was supposed to go to infrastructure. Instead, it went mostly to Wall Street. But like I said, the problem has become acute. I think we have to keep our faith. We have to look to Scripture, because Scripture, there's more about finance than heaven or hell. And I don't know how many people in the last time read the Bible for financial advice, but I'm telling you, and it's totally against debt. So the more you can work and lower your debt, and even if you have to take a less is more lifestyle, your parents and grandparents didn't have what we had, but they came out pretty good. And I think that's just what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to take a few steps back in the way we live.
Well, Peter, thanks for your time. Always good to talk to you. I know 100 people reached out to you. You've been battling depression, and you sound a lot better today. So we're going to continue to pray for you and ask everyone to do the same thing. And thank you for being so public about your own personal struggle. And if people want to get a hold of you, I'm assuming the best place to go is petergrandage.com. They can sign up for your emails and communicate with you there.
Yeah, you can learn about us there. We're also on Twitter at Peter Grandage. And to your wife, pour the hemlock if she's listening.
Peter, I got hope. I got hope for the future. I'm grateful for you and for your time. Looking forward to the next time we talk.
So am I to you, Drew, and your listeners. God bless.
Thanks, brother. Hey, before I let you go, very quickly, you're a Giant fan. And I know Dr. Bob Tabali, who's a regular on the show, is a Giant fan. Boy, I was being chided during that Eagle loss. Who were you rooting for in that Super Bowl? Were you rooting for the Eagles, or did you go Chiefs? Oh, I just lost Peter. Peter is a diehard Giant fan, and Eagles and Giants tend to butt heads, but don't know whether or not he was going to vote and root for the Eagles. Bob Tabali, Dr. Tabali, he was funny. He was harassing me the entire game. I got to take a short break. When we come back, Monsignor Rossetti will be stopping by. Do you feel like you are cursed? You ever feel that way? Is there such a thing as a financial curse? Can you be financially cursed? You might think, Drew, every time I think I'm getting ahead, the car breaks down, the water heater breaks, you know, the roof starts to leak, I lose my job, I can never get out from under this debt. We'll take a look at that. We'll take a look at that with Monsignor Rossetti and more right after this. Stay with me.
Insight and analysis right here. It's the Drew Mariani Show. Relevant Radio.
This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
The Drew Mariani Show is on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, boy, time is slipping, huh? Amazing how it slips away, keeps on ticking. I love that. It's Friday, and I'll tell you what, I only have a few moments left with you. Hope you've had a great week, and I hope you get some R&R this weekend, get a chance to rest and relax. It seems like time is accelerating. I should talk about that one day. I've got a theory on that, but following up with Peter Grandage and what he said, I don't want people to be depressed. I don't want you to be frightened about the future. I want you to put your trust in God. But, you know, there can be a spiritual component to this sometimes. You know, we talk about our health coming under attack, right? You talk about division in a family. You talk about anger. You talk about addiction. Can some of those things come about because of spiritual vulnerabilities? Did you crack open the door? Did you open a portal? And I'm going to throw this out. Monsignor Rossetti is going to be stopping by. I want to get his take on this. Just something to think about. And I want to explore this with you. Is it possible to be financially cursed? And I know a person who says to me, Drew, I don't know what it is. I'm just so bad with my finances. I just can't get out of debt. He says to me, you know, I try, but I just my entire life I've been like this. I just can't seem to handle it. I was reading an article earlier today with another case where somebody says, I own my own business and large amounts of money come through, but I can never keep any of it. And it looks like I'm going to have a little profit from a job. Something unexpected always pops up and takes it. Like, let's say the vehicle breaking down. though there was nothing wrong with the car before that. And then recently a customer went to pay their final payment with a credit card. I have three different credit card systems, each under different companies. But the day I went to collect the payments, none of them would work. So maybe you've seen the same thing. Maybe you just say, every time I try to get ahead, I just can't. Something goes wrong, and I just can't seem to get ahead. Maybe it's another medical bill. Maybe it's a housing problem. Maybe it's some other issue. Could this be rooted in the spiritual? I know that sounds kind of out in left field, but I think it's well worth the discussion. And I am just delighted to have with me today Monsignor Rossetti. Maggie and I were just talking about Monsignor, and he's got a is it a Twitter page about Maggie? Open your mic real quick. What was it? It's a
he's got a TikTok.
Is it a YouTube channel? A TikTok.
TikTok and a Instagram. I'm not on Instagram right now because I'm on Fiat 90. But I was just telling Monsignor Rossetti that I was really enjoying watching his videos on Instagram, and they were very popular.
That's cool. We'll plug that for him. I'm not on Instagram either or TikTok, but I'm delighted Monsignor, as he's out reaching another generation, one that needs it. If you're not familiar with him, he's been with us in the past. He's the president and the founder of the St. Michael Center for Spiritual Renewal, and he's also a licensed psychologist and a research associate professor at Catholic University of America. But he wrote a book, and you might want to check this out. It's called The Diary of an American Exorcist, Demons, Possession, and the Modern Day Battle Against an Ancient Evil. So I've invited him today to stop by and give us a perspective on these financial hardships so many people seem to be plagued with. Monsignor, thanks for your time. Good to talk with you.
Hello, Drew. Nice to be with you again.
Yeah, this seems like a plague for a lot of people. I know the economy's bad. There's a lot of natural reasons for why people are having, you know, difficulty, also bad, you know, financial principles or understanding of finance. But when I came across this particular blog post, I wanted to talk to you about it. Is it possible that the sufferings that some are going through can be a financial curse? Maybe unpack that if you could.
Well, as you mentioned, we first go to the natural. Obviously, if people have financial problems, perhaps they need to work with a money manager, or maybe they need some training, whatever. But there do seem to be a few outliers. You know, I've worked with a number of people, and it just you can't explain it. In other words, they're constantly on a verge of poverty, destitution, bankruptcy, whatever, and they seem to be good money managers. There's a lot of money that goes through their life, but something always seems to happen. And you know, in the beginning, they all said, "Well, I just assume there's a run of bad luck," or whatever. Right. But after a while, you say, you know, no, there's something else going on. And then they'll say, I feel cursed.
So who curses you? I mean, how does this happen? I know, like, if you deal with pornography or the Ouija board, or you do something else, certain spirits can enter. You might battle lust. You know, you may have disturbances in your home. Is this a curse mm-hmm. placed on you, or by your action, do you curse yourself?
Well, I'm thinking of a couple cases right now, which I was convinced and that the people were cursed. One was there was some Freemasonry in his background, and people don't realize that even as late as 1983, Cardinal Ratzinger at the time, who was a cardinal, and the Congregation of Doctrine of the Faith, the CDF, he once again reiterated that belonging to the Masonic Temple is a grave sin, and invites one to the presence of evil. And so, and since the organization belonging there, we believe it carries the curses with it. One of them would be, you know, could be a variety of things. One could be financial. So this guy had this Freemasonry in his background. And when we went through his finances, the whole thing, we said, oh my gosh, you know, it could be a result of that. So we had him renounce these Freemasonic curses, go to confession, you know, and we prayed to have this curse lifted.
And did it lift?
Well, we just did it, so we'll see. You know, it just did it. This blog you read, my latest blog, it's just very recent, and it just, you know, I learned like everyone else. I mean, I never heard of this, you know, in the seminary, but you know, it just happened very, I just sort of, the pieces start to fall into place. And I said, oh my gosh, I know several people like that.
Yeah.
And maybe there is a financial crisis. I had another couple, for example, they had a decent job with the government, good fellow, the guy's family, worked hard, but he said, we're always on the point of bankruptcy. And it's always some strange things would happen, unexplained, strange things, and just it's every week something. As a matter of this case, for example, is interesting. And around the house, there would be pennies and nickels would show up, or dimes. In other words, and they didn't put them there. And so it's kind of like, I thought, if you believe this, you know, it's kind of like a harassment. You know, it's kind of like a harassment. And I talked about that. We said, well, where do you think this financial curse is coming from? He said, you know, my wife's parents or grandparents actually hated us getting married. They hated the whole thing, didn't like me. And basically she went to a witch in their country, and she said they put a spell on us and said, the grandmother said, you will never have anything, and cursed them. In fact, they don't. I mean, so we, you know, we just, again, very recent, we left the curse, and we'll see what happens. So we'll see. I mean, I'm learning like everyone else, and we'll see if this financial situation turns around.
You know, and I think about people who allow sin into the home. For example, let's say there's gambling, right? I mean, that could be a portal for something that brings financial hardships, right? Maybe you have a habit of cheating on the taxes or doing something else that's sinful with finances. Do you think there's repercussions for that? I'm not just talking the outright sin, but does it crack open the door to allow reciprocal hardship to come your way? You know what I mean? Through a financial burden or curse. I don't want to get too... Well, go ahead. Let you answer that.
Well, we don't. It's not a one-for-one thing. You know, I have a gambling problem, therefore I'm financially cursed. But as we know, any sort of serious sin, or any sin for that matter, opens us up to the wiles of the evil one. And although most people don't become possessed or whatever, and they don't seem to go through these curses... But occasionally, you know, for example, it's like using the Ouija board. I know I have lots of people come by and they say, I've used it once or twice, and they didn't seem to have any bad thing happen to them. But every once in a while, I get someone said, yeah, I used it a bunch of times for several months, and I got a real problem. So you never know when you open yourself up to the evil one when something will strike. But it can, you know, and it does.
My guest today is Monsignor Rossetti. If you want to join us, I'll open the phones. You can get in. I only have them for a few more minutes today. We're approaching the end of the program. But the number to get in, 888-914-9149. That's 888-914-9149. Monsignor, stay with me. I'm going to take a break. When we come back, we'll grab a few calls. But I also want to find out how we close those portals, how we cleanse.
I've got a solution for that.
How we heal. Right? I mean, because this is really important. And who knows? This conversation, if you're just tuning in, it may change your future. It may be the cause of some of your problems. It's well worth discussing, and it's well worth talking about. Again, if you want to join me, you've got to call now because I only have a few moments. I'll see what I can do about getting you on the air. 888-914-9149. I'll be right back.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forrester.
Pray more, worry less. You're listening to The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, just a quick heads up and a reminder. I'll try to get your phone calls on the air here. Thank you for calling in. The number's 888-914-9149 to be part of the conversation with Monsignor Rossetti today. Before we go any further, I know this is a conversation you say, well, I've never heard of anything like that. That is, I never thought about that. And you might want somebody you know to hear this conversation. Maybe it's a loved one, a sibling, a parent, a child. You can share this conversation. Maggie will have our broadcast up in podcast form When we sign off, give her about an hour to get it up, though. And if you just go to relevantradio.com, do a search for the Drew Mariani Show, or if you go to Spotify or to, you know, iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, it'll be up there, and it's well worth listening again. Look for the last hour with Monsignor Rossetti, and we'll get you all plugged in. And Monsignor, it's good to have you with us today. You talk about these things, and we talk about Freemasonry and people's backgrounds. We take a look at the different ways that a curse can befall someone, or how, you know, these portals can be open. The real big question is, how do you expunge it? How do you cover yourself and protect yourself from the evil one? What do you suggest, and how do we safeguard ourselves from these financial curses, if you will, or demons?
Yes, well, Drew, the first thing is, against any evil, we lead a good Christian Catholic life, receive the sacraments, go to confession, all those things, of course, prayer, communion of saints, the Virgin Mary, the Rosary, all those things are important. But also, we've put on our app/website a specific prayer for this, a prayer against financial curses. So www.catholicexorcism.org. If you go under Deliverance Prayers for the Laity, you'll see a prayer to lift financial curses. Now, individuals, by their natural law of the Lord, the natural law, we have the right to control our own property and finances. So the prayer, you lift curses against your own finances and property, and then you dedicate all your goods to the Virgin Mary and ask her to protect you and to use them for God's greater glory. So you invoke your natural law, you cast out these curses, reject them, you dedicate your goods to the Virgin Mary, and then if a priest is present, he can ratify that and give the church's blessing. So that's a powerful prayer in addition to living a good Catholic life.
Well, that's fantastic. And we'll try to link over to that as well. And why don't you put a quick plug in for your podcast or your Instagram or your TikTok account as well. People want to see some of your videos.
Well, I've been stunned. I mean, as you mentioned earlier in the show, that, you know, we just started to do this. We're going to reach out, especially to the young people who might not be churched. And most of our videos between Instagram and TikTok and Twitter or whatever, we had like 75 to 100,000 views for each one of them.
Wow.
So there is an
wow.
Instagram account, Monsignor Rossetti. That's probably the most popular Instagram. And I've just been stunned. I mean, I think there's a real thirst out there for this stuff, even though people sadly might not be going to church yet.
Yeah. All right. My guest today, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti. Let's do this, Monsignor. We'll grab a couple calls for you. And I only have a few minutes left, so I know this time's going to go pretty quick. Robert is listening. Is it Robert, Maggie? Who should I go to next? I'm quite sure. Let me get Robert in California. Robert, hi. You're on the air.
Yes. I have a question in regards to that. It's just in regards to struggling with pornography and stuff. And I have done it, and I've also invited, you know, my wife in it, and I feel ashamed of it. But we just decided not to do it anymore, but I was wondering, do we have to go to confession, or can it swear oath that we won't do it again? It's embarrassing, quite honest, to be honest.
Sure.
Right, sure.
Yeah, well, the confession is a wonderful sacrament. Yes, it's a little bit embarrassing, but the priest has heard it before, so don't be worried about what the priest is going to think. Yes, go to confession. It's a great sacrament. Gives us a real blessing and forgiveness, a sacramental forgiveness. So sure, yeah, definitely do that. And, of course, go to Mass and Communion.
All right, Marshall in San Diego, good afternoon. You're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon, Drew. Appreciate you taking my call. I haven't been a regular listener, but I've been listening in the past few years. I heard this commentary in terms of the financial situation, and so I just wanted to contribute because, you know, I think a lot of people are in a similar situation in terms of, you know, having, like I was told, raised in a principal household, but, you know, I chose to invest in sort of my education. You know, I was a principled student, so I certainly did, you know, all the homework and did, made good grades, but wasn't certainly exceptional. And therefore, you know, took out loans in order to undertake to get higher education and, you know, have done that. But like many of the cyclical problems that I think that other people are taking is that, you know, like promises in terms of the amount, the cost of the education itself was just inconsistent with, you know, the reality of getting the job and working in a position, you know, and ultimately to pay that off. And I know that the government is trying to make a series of changes in terms of making it easier or more feasible to those that you only pay like a percentage of what your, mm-hmm. you know, your total income is. Doesn't necessarily solve it because you're in a position where you're really only just paying off the interest. And there's never even a position. And even some of the changes that they've made for purposes of working for the government, you know, that you work so many years and the rest to be discharged, mm-hmm. you know, there's right. already evidence of the fact that they're going to be pulling back those things. And as a consequence, you know, I'm in a position where, you know, I'd like to be, you know, getting married and putting anything in on a house. But I, you know, have these financial consequences that I understand. Yeah. I take full responsibility for doing them. But yeah, I mean, in terms of causing great, you know, how are we going to get out of this?
Marshall, I'll tell you what, your signal's breaking up a little bit. My apologies. I'm going to put you on hold for a second. I think Monsignor got a lot out of that, and I'll just add something to what he's saying as well. There is a certain level of frustration that comes along with this when you are so mired in debt and you don't see a way out of it. It can be depressing, Monsignor. Your advice for Marshall and for anyone right now who says, I'm drowning, I'm in a hole, unless I declare bankruptcy, I'll never see the light of day again.
Well, I mean, those, as he mentioned, is a sad situation, and I understand its frustration. Obviously, it wouldn't be a financial curse, per se, but a very human, natural explanation for that. And I'm no financial wizard. I just know that, you know, I think people finding some wise person who can guide you and help you sort of make one step at a time. So that's my best thing is when you need natural help, find a wise person who knows this stuff.
Yeah, amen to that. Jay in Fort Myers, Florida. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yeah, this is Jay. I wanted to share a little bit of my story and see if Father Rossetti had something to say on it. Essentially, I've been having a lot of trouble keeping a job, and I know I'm a very talented, intelligent person. I went to a service academy. I was, you know, tested gifted as a student, but even, you know, as early as grade school, I was always a bit slower than my peers in getting things accomplished, even though I'd spend more time working on them than my peers. And essentially what I found out recently, some things I already knew, some things I've found out recently, mm-hmm. is that my father's a 32nd degree Freemason. And and in addition to that, you know, we come from Haiti, and mm-hmm. my grandfather was cursed by his ex-wife. His ex-wife's mother, because she was heavy into Haitian occult, and essentially, in addition to that, my mother went to see a palm reader before she got married, and.
Yep.
And the palm reader said, my parents would get a divorce. My parents got a divorce. And so I've seen all this spiritual stuff happening to me with my spiritual director right now. He doesn't think it's spiritual. He thinks I'm just not mm-hmm. focusing hard enough. But he did some deliverance prayers with me last Sunday, and I've seen some improvement in my life.
All right. Well, look, I only have about 3 minutes, Jay, so let me let Monsignor respond to you. He struggled holding down a job. He's gifted. He's in credit card debt, and he has a history of occult in the family line, including a 32nd degree Mason. Your advice?
Here's what I would do. I mean, I don't know your specific situation. I'm so glad you're seeing your priest and have a spiritual director. You're so lucky, frankly. But I would take it both from a spiritual perspective and also a natural perspective. From the spiritual perspective, yes, some deliverance prayers. Yes, some of those prayers to renounce Freemasonry, to cast out spirits, to lift curses. So I do all those things. We have a monthly online deliverance session. Next one is March 6th. So we have 16,000 people who registered last month. So I'd say, yeah, do some deliverance praying as you have done. But then also attack on a natural level, too. That's typically the best approach. Do something spiritual and then do something natural. So try to find out what's the human element to this. Because oftentimes the evil one takes advantage of our human weaknesses. So try to find out, you know, what are the things that I'm doing or about me that might not be, you know, as effective as they might be, and then try to find some natural healing for that and some ways of coping to be more effective.
All right, Monsignor, I got to leave it right there. Jay, we'll pray for your brother. Thank you for calling in. My apologies to everyone else that's on hold. Would you give us your blessing, Monsignor? I have about a minute left, and I'd be grateful for that.
Yeah, we ask the Blessed Mother to spread her mantle over all of us, it's all the people listening and their loved ones and all there at Irrelevant Radio. May God bless your ministry as he has and will do so. And may the Lord lift any curses that might be placed on anyone listening, whether they're financial or any kind. May the Lord lift those curses, wash you all clean with the blood of the Lamb. May the Lord bless you and give you peace, and may Almighty God bless you all. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. Hey, Monsignor, thank you for all that you do. Look forward to your next post and to our next conversation. Enjoy your weekend, okay?
Thank you, Duke. God bless you all.
God bless you. It's Monsignor Rossetti. Say a prayer for him as well. Say a prayer for him. Hey, I'm out of time for the day. I want to thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. If you missed any of this conversation, you want to revisit it, it's well worth doing. As I said, Maggie will have the podcast up in about an hour. And tell others about the broadcast. And I'll be back next week. I always try to give you a look at life you will not find anywhere else, diving into topics and conversations that are seldomly talked about, shining, of course, the light of our faith on those. Say a prayer for me. I know the evil one doesn't like what we're all about here at Relevance, so I appreciate your prayers. Until next time, remember God loves you, and so do I. Have a great weekend.